incredible things to watch, because the way that glass moves is mad. And I have this really clear memory of like squatting on the floor like a little gremlin, one hand, bone in the other, and having this realization that my name is a sentence. We like to self-describe as a three-pronged theatre company. The first prong is gay, the second prong is accessible, and the third prong is rickety. Before that, I realised I was disabled, and that realisation and the way that I had to kind of change the way that I thought, the way that I did stuff, that has kind of set me on the path that I've been on ever since.
You name it with Denver and Ricky.
Hello and good morning or good afternoon or good whenever you're listening to this week's episode of the pod, bringing the drama to you.
Oh my God, what was that? I'm sorry.
The new slogan.
No, mate, no, what was that? You've not just made a slogan saying bringing the drama to you. What are we? Are we in a GCSE class?
You left me with a mission and I didn't forget. And I came to you with a slogan. I came to you with a few, in case you didn't like that one.
All right, okay, so let's hear another one.
We've got, obviously, bringing the drama to you, which, because people come to us with drama, but also we get actors, so there's, like, a pun in that because of drama. Then I wanted one with a you name it, so you name it, we gain it. Because
when is this torture going to end?
Gain the show. Oh, right. Go on then. What have you got better than that? exactly.
You name it. Nothing. We film it.
We don't film it. Wrong.
Oh, we don't film it.
You're falsifying everything.
I'm just saying, how good was my theme tune? And this is what you bring to me?
Yeah, you went onto Fiverr and paid someone to create you a tune.
Well, you could have done that as well. I'm sorry.
I'm not paying someone to create a tune when I'm coming up with things like that.
Right, okay. I think we've gone off topic here because I think we need to introduce our guest before they get frightened away from us because we start an argument with each other. So, a very, very, very interesting guest on today. She's absolutely fantastic and she has so much going on and I can't wait for this episode. So please welcome Georgina Taylor.
Thanks, guys. That was lovely.
What do you think of the slogan, Georgie?
Name
it, we gain it, or bringing the drama to you?
I think they're both so exceedingly good. I couldn't possibly choose.
I love it when they come on and kiss the ass, Ricky.
I literally, I was like, people are going to be nice to you because this is your first meeting. Like, don't be nice to him. That was terrible, Georgie. Right, and you can tell him. It feels weird calling you Georgina, so I'm just going to stick to Georgie. Is that right?
Stick with Georgie.
So it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Georgie. And I'm so excited to get into the meat of this film that we're going to get to.
But I'm excited to get meaty.
Oh, I'm excited to get so meaty. But before we move any further, we need to get to know you. So
we do.
Right.
So shall I go? Shall I lead with the first one?
Oh, you, because this is a good question. I'm so happy about this question.
Right. So on the grapevine, I hear, Georgie, that you are the number one person to come to if you need a recommendation on a TV show to watch. So, our first question on the Get to Know You is, what is the best thing to watch on TV right now?
Oh, man, that's so tough because I really watch some shite. So
yeah, see, I love shite TV. That's all I watch.
I'm sorry. You suggested Blown Away, which is not shite. Like, we need to get a Blown Away mentioned in now. But
right, yeah. So Blown Away, I think, is like the one to go to. That's like this end of the scale. And then right down the other end of the scale, what we're doing at the moment, we're watching this awful American reality TV show, which is like their answer to Love Island, except it's so bad that we can only watch it on 1.5 speed. And that's the experience I'm recommending.
Right, okay. So we'll get to Blown Away in a second because I have no idea what that is. But I'm loving this other end of the scale because at the moment I'm re-watching Love Island Series 2.
Yes. That was probably back in the day when they were allowed to drink and smoke.
Oh, they were drinking and smoking. It's so much drama. I can't believe it's actually allowed to be on TV now. And it's amazingly bad. But I'm watching like 3 hours worth of it a day because there's so much of it. So what is that American show? Because that sounds ridiculous.
It is. It's called Are You The One? And they've got...
Oh, yeah, it's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like 10 blokes and 10 girls. And they got like compatibility experts to work out which ones are a perfect match. And they have to like find their perfect match to win $1 million.
$1 million,
I know. But it's really bad. And it's not like, you know, on Love Island, there's ups and downs, isn't there? And there's the drama, but there's also like people being really lovely and friendships and things are quite nice. Are You The One is just straight up arguments.
Beef after beef. We love that. That's the reason we watch it, though. We love the drama.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my recommendation. Are You The One? I will be getting on it. Blown away. If you didn't know what this program was about, you'd be a bit confused. So what is Blown Away?
It's a glass blowing competition show. And honestly, like...
Well, this is the high end of your recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is, I think, one of the most, like, incredible things to watch. Because the way that glass moves is mad.
Honestly.
That's the soundbite at the beginning of the show, Ricky.
honestly. Georgie recommended me Blown Away to all of my flatmates last year in Jameson Road. And we watched it and we got so into it when we were having like we just used to like have so much like we used to think that we were expert glass like connoisseurs. Like you get so into it, it's like, oh, that's not a good piece of art, that's a little bit off there. And we were just generally having conversations like we knew what we were talking about. This show is amazing and go watch it, and it's all right. Out Georgie,
so Blown Away and Are You The One. Give it a listen, and if you don't like it, then we'll drop you Georgie's Insta and you can give her all the abuse you want.
Don't
start with that, Denver. don't just be like, send her abuse.
God.
Right.
What would you rather, Ricky? Well, we put it onto Instagram and we got some...
Oh, you're not going to seriously suggest one of these.
I'm not going to suggest one of these, but we had some very interesting answers. But I have got one and it's a bit silly. So, Georgie, would you rather be... 4'5" or 7'7"?
4'5", 100%.
Why?
I think because I'm not far off that already.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel that.
I've always dreamed of being taller, so I think I'd go 7'7". But you wouldn't be able to walk through doors.
Or lie in a bed.
Yeah,
you'd have terrible back problems.
Get everything custom built.
Imagine, yeah.
If you're a dwarf, then you're just a dwarf, aren't you?
Sorry, what did you just say then?
A dwarf. I said dwarf, and let's move on, okay?
let's move on from that. what is the next question, Denver?
I don't know.
Okay, let's move on.
What's your favourite supermarket? Obviously, we ask
what's
it every
week. What's my favourite supermarket? Oh, man. So me and my boyfriend, who I live with, we've gone upmarket recently. Ooh. And we've started getting deliveries. Honestly, like, could not recommend a delivery more. And our chosen delivery is from Tesco. And I know that's a bit posh.
Tesco. I know. You think Tesco's posh? Interesting.
Yeah, maybe that says more than my actual choice.
Have you got a club card, first of all?
You know, I think I do, but I wouldn't be able to tell you.
You're going Tesco at the moment with club card prices. Something's £2.50. Club card, bang, £1. Unbelievable. Every time I'm going in, something's like £15. Club card, £11. Amazing. I'm a big fan of Tesco at the moment, so I can appreciate that. And it's actually, you're the first person to mention Tesco.
I thought, that's nice, so at least.
I mean, on the board, we have really divulged from where we're supposed to be going with this podcast. Like, this has gone...
We do this every week.
This literally, we've just gone off on an absolute tangent here. But we now, I think we should move on to the meat that we were talking about earlier. We're going to start with the bread of the burger.
Meaty.
Okay. Can we stop saying that? Because that is making me like...
I'll start with the carving of the meat. I don't know this.
No,
this,
you start. You start. You're starting with the bun of the burger.
The bun. Okay. Yeah, the bun. Right. Okay. You keep this analogy going. Georgie, we sent you the questions, and hopefully you've had a good think about who you want to be, and how your play or movie wants to go. So first of all, who's the actor that is going to be playing in this TV spectacular?
Oh man, it's so hard, isn't it? Because your first thought is like, well, I'm going to play me.
Okay. Yeah.
But like, ideal world, we're talking like Netflix budget, Natasha Lyonne.
Okay. Natasha Lyonne.
You know, she's in Russian Doll and Orange is the New Black.
I honestly have no idea who this is. I'm going to do a Google here.
Yeah,
Natasha Lyonne, Orange. I've never seen The Orange Is New Black. Is that worth watching?
Yeah, defo, I'd say.
I haven't found her.
This is.
Oh yeah, Lyonne. Okay, yeah, I recognise the face. Yeah, so, Orange Is the New Black.
So why
I'd
would
like
you
to play? See? I'd like to see how a northern accent is. I think that would be interesting.
And where is it that you're from? I thought it's that northern accent. Where are you from?
I'm from Chester.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So not far from Liverpool.
No, yeah, just down the road.
Okay, so Natasha Lyonne. Mm. So why her? Why would you choose her? So obviously you're intrigued by the accent. What is it that you've seen her in that kind of made you go, do you know what? I want her to play me.
I mean, like, it started with a really fancy her, and then somebody said that my hair was like hers, and I was like, there it is.
That's all you need. You need to fancy her and have her like her, and that's it. Well, you did say, obviously, you thought about playing yourself, which we have had before podcast. Obviously, you're an actor. So what's the best role that you've been in the vast shows you've been in?
Oh, my God, the best. I mean, acting alongside Ricky is top of the list, no matter what the role is.
Thank you.
You sent her a script here, mate.
I haven't, but I would agree. Working alongside me is a dream. Some would say, you know, in my little angel costume that I was in. That was a great. To be fair, Doomsday was a lot of fun, and you were great as Jesus.
Right, you were doing Doomsday. That makes sense.
It was fun to play Jesus. I think one of my favourite things that I've played was Orlando, in a production of Orlando, and the character, he starts as a boy and then he lives for like 500 years, and in the middle of all of that, he wakes up one day and he's a woman. And it's just such a fantastic story, and that it was a really fun part to play. So my serious answer...
I haven't read Orlando. I keep meaning to. I've got it on the side, but I've not actually. I've heard a lot of good things about it, so I need to. It sounds really interesting. It'd be a good play to delve into that. I think that I want to do at some point.
Definitely. Nice. Yeah, the book is long, but the play adaptation we did, I think it's by Sarah Rule, and that's worth a read.
Definitely.
Obviously, the book is as well.
Right, so we actually had to cut off there because of editing and all of that. See, obviously, podcasts are always perfect all the time. And I actually had a chance to do my research on who Natasha Lyonne was. And what I recognise her from is American Pie.
Oh!
I don't think she was quite a big character in it. But do you know when you see her face and you're like, I've seen that face before? But yeah, she was from American Pie. So there you go.
You can't say
we don't do our research.
Well done, Denver. Right. Now, Geordie, to question two. So what is the genre of this film? And me knowing you, I know that this is going to have a, I think, a bit of a non-naturalistic influence. Isn't that correct? So,
wow.
What is this genre we're going to get from you for the start of this film?
Genre-wise, I think it'd have to be a bit silly, wouldn't it? Because if you're making a film about yourself and it's not a bit silly, then you look a bit like a wanker, don't you?
So what you when you say a bit silly, what would it be, like a comedy slapstick type thing? Or
I think, have you seen Pride?
Yeah, I've seen Pride.
So like it's like good vibes, there's funny bits in it, but it's overall about social change and big things in the world. I think something like that would be a dream.
Nice. And how does it begin then? So how does the journey of Georgina happen?
Right. I had to think about this. And I think that it would be, I was at this after show party in first year and a bit tipsy, kind of feeling a bit weird in all of the vibes of the theatre world at uni, and it was all quite overwhelming. And I have this really clear memory of like squatting on the floor like a little gremlin in one hand, bone in the other, and having this realization that my name is a sentence.
What? What?
What?
Yeah. That's actually too elaborate.
The reaction that I want. Because my first name, obviously, is Georgina. My last name is Taylor, and my middle name is May. So I remember, like, crouching on the floor, gremlin style, and being like, Georgina May, not Taylor. That's where we start.
I'm sorry. Right. That is one of the most ridiculous starts we have ever had to a film ever.
Yes.
So you realised your movie, I've lost for words here. Your movie begins with you in a party.
Yeah.
You're a bit pissed and you've squatted to take in the mood and all the energies and all of that. And you've had a drunken thought that your name is a sentence.
Yeah.
And that made you want to become an actor.
I think because I wanted to be an actor for a really long time, but also not much interesting happens in childhood, does it, really? We can just get rid of it, maybe do some flashbacks at some point.
Yeah.
But nothing like a good party scene to start a film.
Okay.
Also, it's quite silly.
It's very silly. It's very silly.
With this episode, Georgia, I'm going to say I didn't know what to expect, but I expected something like that, and I'm so glad we have got that.
Yeah.
Georgie May not Taylor.
Georgie May not Taylor. That's the existential question that I want the film.
I'm lost for words with that. That's just.
Okay, we've got the scene set with that. Tell us a bit more about uni. Where did you go? Did you study drama?
I didn't study drama. I studied linguistics, actually, but it was all a bit of an elaborate guise to be involved in the theatre scene, because it was really active for theatre stuff, and there's loads of opportunities. And I got to do loads of things that I would never have got to do had I not gone there. So,
and just to clarify for Ricky, who doesn't understand, what is linguistics?
This is the thing. Usually people are like, oh, how many languages do you speak? And I'm like, barely English. It's like the science of language. It's quite sciencey, but there's some bits that I think a lot of actors find interesting, like, it kind of overlaps with the way that we understand accents and stuff like that. And I always found that bit really interesting.
So it's you'd say it helped you within acting?
Some way.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I pretty much hated it the whole way through, to be fair. But I did get to do lots of fun theatre things. So
you're also being a bit modest here, because you did study linguistics, but you studied it at quite a good university. Quite a good one. Where did you study?
I don't know what you mean. I went to Cambridge.
Ah, oh, there we go.
It makes me sound like a posh wanker. And I hate for that to be people's first impression of me, because I really hope that I'm not a posh wanker.
Did you find that most people were posh wankers at Cambridge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not everybody, but I mean, like, I met my fella there and he's obviously decent. So
I thought you were gonna say posh wanker then. I was like, wow, that's not good.
No, it was a very, I think people have an idea of it that they think that everybody there is a certain type. And whilst that is true, there is also a majority of people that are not like that but are trying to fit in. And it's, yeah. Lots of ups and downs in 3 years, I think. But like every university experience.
But I guess with Cambridge, and this is something that I want to draw on to next, is that you hear so much about, like, the Cambridge theatre scene. Like, you hear so many people who go to Cambridge and then go off to become actors and go off to do, like, comedy stuff. So what was it like being in that environment? Because on your CV that we read through, there was a lot of performances with the Cambridge University Society and doing it at the Cambridge Theatre. So what was that like I'm trying to find the word for it, as a journey? How did that work? Was the rehearsal room completely different to how it was with someone in, like, a drama school setting?
I mean, I guess, like, I haven't really got a lot to compare it to, but the main things that it felt like at the time was, it was incredibly fast-paced, it was incredibly competitive, it was incestuous as fuck.
That's drama.
That's drama. Yeah. But no, it was really good, and it really, the way that it was all set up meant that everybody could kind of throw the hat in the ring and have a try at whatever they wanted to do. So I set up my first theatre company while I was there, and I set that up the month after I started. So, like, that was the sort of environment that it was, like, that if you wanted to put in the work, you could get somewhere with it, which was sick. Like, that was really good. And yeah, I think I got more experience in them 3 years than I think I have done before or after. So
were you at uni, despite studying something else, did you still always have that keen interest in acting and performing? Did you always know that's where you wanted to go, or was it just always an interest?
It was, yeah, so I wanted to go to drama school since I was 13. I decided to actually start doing stuff because I was with this boy at the time, and his dad was a street performer, and his mum was an actor, and nobody in my family are professionally artistic. Obviously they are artsy and things, just not professionally. Yeah. And there's not really that knowledge, you know. And I remember talking to them and I was like, oh, I want to act, all I want to do is act, but it's so competitive and it's so unstable, I'm scared. And I remember them saying to me, there's always going to be jobs for actors. And I was like, right, fuck it then, cool.
There we go. Just a bit laid back about it.
I think
so. I wanted to go to drama school from that point on, really, and I was planning for that. And then I had this wonderful theatre teacher in sixth form, and she was really, really encouraging. And she went to Cambridge, and she said that I should be thinking about that, really. And the whole way through sixth form, I was no, 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 no. And then I happened to do better than I expected in my AS levels, and it was really only on that results day that I was like, right, okay, let's have a think about uni then instead.
Well, so it was only on results day that you applied to go to Cambridge? So just off a whim, it all kind of fell in place quite luckily.
Yeah, I'm not one for planning. I don't like it.
I was going to say, everything seems very hasty.
It's
yeah.
It's brilliant. But I think when you were at uni, we've got here that you're in the vagina monologues. I can't say the word. The vagina monologues. The Duchess
the word
of
vagina gets you nervous.
Yeah, right? It gets me nervous. The vagina monologues. The Duchess of the Duchess of Malfia, and then you were also in Much Ado About Nothing, which was directed by Geraint Owen. Have I said that correct?
Geraint Owen, yeah.
And it went at loads of venues across Europe in December 2017. So what was that experience like, performing a show in and across Europe?
Yeah, honestly, it was crazy. I think also you've done a really good segue into the turning point questions.
It's almost like we planned that. Hey?
I know, aren't you great? Well done. Yeah, it was amazing. It was honestly the most incredible experience. And I think, like, now one of the main things I'm interested in is touring. And having had that experience, I know that it's, like, I kind of know bits about it, I suppose.
What is it about touring that you kind of love so much compared to just kind of, obviously, non-touring theatre? Stage or anything?
I think the pace of it and how involved it is as well. Like, you can't get away with touring as an actor and only acting. You have to pull your weight all over the shop.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because I hate that divide that there usually is between techies and creatives. Like, I think that's such a false divide that I think it sort of falls away a little bit, or in my experience.
A touring comes together because everyone kind of has to put in their little bits here and there and everything, because obviously half the time you've not got a lot of time to kind of get in and get out altogether, have you?
So as we were moving on with that segue, so what would be the moment that was your plot twist then? Is it going on tour with Geraint Owen? I'm getting his name better.
Geraint, it's just a Welsh name.
All right.
Always get Ricky to read the things out because we know he struggles and it's just fun, isn't it?
That's so harsh.
with much Ado About Nothing. So was that a turning point for you to really see touring theatre, or have we got another moment here like before where it's going to go anywhere?
Honestly, like, it's a bit of a downer, actually. I think it was during that tour that I realised I was disabled. And that realisation and the way that I had to kind of change the way that I thought, the way that I did stuff, that has kind of set me on the path that I've been on ever since. That's a bit of a downer. Sorry, lads.
No, that's fine. And do you mind, if you're okay with this, do you mind explaining what your disability is and how that has affected you within the role of an actor? Because obviously, like, you're explaining much better than I would.
And how old are you at this stage? Are you about 19?
Yeah, I was 20. I'm 23 now. So, yeah, like, when we were touring, there was a company of, I think it was about 24 of us, and it was in, like, the second week of touring, and I was noticing that I wasn't dealing as well with all of the stuff that we had to do as well as everybody else, and the way that I was feeling and behaving was more like another person on the team who was chronically ill. And she's a close friend now. And I remember thinking then, like, oh, maybe there is something going on with me. Because I'd always felt like the chronic pain that I had and the chronic fatigue that I had was due to, like, stuff like iron deficiencies and stuff like that. But it was only really during this tour that I was like, I think it is actually a bit more serious than this.
How bad would it get? Like, when you say obviously chronic fatigue, like, how bad is it getting?
So when it's at its worst, I'm stuck in bed, can't really do much for myself. Like, when pain is bad, it's everything that you can think of. It's like every form of pain that you've experienced all layered on top of each other. And it's sort of like the way that affects your mind and the way your thoughts are is horrid. So,
and what's the disability called?
It's called fibromyalgia, and it's a really under-researched disease. So chronic illnesses as a whole are very under-researched, partly because it's not profitable for pharmaceuticals to research them, because you can't cure them, you just live with them. I got back off this tour and started doing some research and started reading about fibro, and I read the symptoms and I was like, fucking hell, I'm patient zero, I feel like. I've got all of these. So took it to a doctor, happened to end up at a really good doctor's the first time, because a lot of the time doctors aren't that sympathetic towards chronic illnesses, especially when you're a woman. Women's pain is often not believed, which is shit. So I took it to her and she said, do this, that and the other, and slowly, slowly sort of scraped myself towards a diagnosis. And at the same time, I was very much involved in accessible theatre and relaxed theatre, which is like a format for performance which makes some changes to basically be more welcoming to broader audiences. So traditionally with relaxed theatres, you can make as much noise as you need to. I think my laptop's not plugged in. I'll plug that in a minute. You can make as much noise as you need to. You can move around as much as you need to. So if you need to leave the auditorium and come back, that's fine. And it sort of brings down those weird standard theatre rules that we have that actually don't serve anyone. Yeah. So I think like the combination of already being involved with that and then realizing how much it applied to myself kind of really set me on the path that I'm on.
So were you working in accessible and relaxed theatre beforehand anyway?
I was, yeah. So the theatre company that I started right at the beginning of uni was, it was called Relaxed Theatre Company. And as far as we know, we were the first company to only do relaxed performances. So usually a theatre company will do like a run of shows and on a Saturday morning, they'll do a relaxed performance, but we just did relaxed theatre. And then, yeah, when I realised and kind of was getting towards a diagnosis was the beginning of 2018. So there was that kind of year that I'd found that bit of community. But yeah, I think like when you're in a situation when you're realizing that you're disabled and it's not like there's not an accident which disables you and you're not, you don't realize that's how you are from like birth, I think it can be really strange, especially when you've known you for a really long time. Like nothing had changed about the way that I was, but just the way that I was thinking about it had changed.
With, I'm going to try and say it here, fibromyalgia?
Yeah.
There we go. So obviously suffering from that, how's it impacted, if anything? It seems like you've taken quite a lot of positives from it, but how's it impacted you as a performer or you as a practitioner as well?
Yeah, I mean, there is a whole host of things that I can't do, but being like, kind of.
So what is that? So what do you struggle with? What is the day to day that you kind of have to face that you are struggling, that you struggle with now?
I get migraines very frequently, so I have to sort of for a whole bunch of reasons, I have to kind of plan out my energy so that I don't run out too quick. Because if I crash, then that's me kind of done for a week or so, stuck in bed. So I kind of have to like strategize my plans quite well to make sure that my energy lasts. I can't stand up for a very long time because I get blood pooling. Gross. I can't like weight bear through my hands. So I don't know, like some, you know, when you're in drama school and you have to do yoga and all of that, like some positions like that I can't do because of tendonitis. And then there's like neurological stuff as well. So I have one of the symptoms is brain fog. So sometimes I'll be like halfway through a thought or halfway through a monologue and my brain will be like, no. it's just really fucking annoying as an actor.
Yeah.
So the way that I kind of get around it a lot of the time is that I'm lucky enough to be in charge of a lot of the projects that I do. With Rickety Fidgets, I do accessibility stuff there to make sure that everybody's catered for, which obviously includes me. Same with my other theatre company, Rocket and Rabbit. And then elsewhere, I kind of just have to head for employers and companies that are disability friendly, because if they're not, then I can't do the work there, basically.
See, it's really nice. And when obviously me and Ricky were chatting beforehand, the one thing I noticed with you as a performer is a lot of your theatre, whether you're producing it, whether you're acting, directing, doing many of your skills, I've realised you normally like to create theatre that makes a difference. So even going back to your school days when you did Orlando, that was already clearly a movie with a prominent message within it. You've done a number of things within accessible theatre, working with people with all different kinds of disabilities who, I guess traditionally wouldn't necessarily be part of the theatre scene. And you try your hardest and succeed by the looks of it in making it, well, literally accessible theatre for everyone.
And I really do think that, like obviously, we've worked together multiple times, Georgie. But I think like that's what's so inspiring about like hearing about you, because it's like hearing that you are doing this to make people more involved within theatre is kind of what we need at the moment. Like, it's so lost in schools at the moment that people are getting left out and drama's getting cut left, right, and centre. We need people to get as many people involved in theatre and people. Otherwise, it's just hopefully, but otherwise it will just die out. We need to keep, theatre needs to keep evolving and changing. Otherwise, well, if it becomes too inaccessible for everyone, then what's the point of it? Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why I think you're such an inspirational person, is because you're generally trying to make theatre for absolutely everyone. And I think that should be absolutely, I think that should be like, if you are listening to it, I think that's the one point you should take away, that Georgie is doing absolutely brilliant things to make sure everybody's involved within theatre. And it's something that, you know, that really, like, you know, like, Georgie, you know, you're a massive inspiration to me. So I think that's what I think I've got a bit like, because I've been working with you, I haven't really heard that story. So when you hear it, it kind of goes like, wow, like, you really have like come through a lot. And like, you went to drama school, and you never once, you know what I mean? You never once seen like, it was a problem, you just let us know and we were all there for you. And it's it's really good and big.
Thanks,
enjoyment.
Matt, that's so kind. That's overwhelmed both of you.
But I think,
well, this is what we do.
We have forgotten about the movie, and that's what I think we need to get back to, because this is
this all ties it up, doesn't it, Ricardo?
Because like, I think
we've got everything.
We've got that wonderful scene to start with, haven't we? Like, Georgie at a party, you know, Georgie may not take off. Georgina Maynard Taylor is unbelievable. We've got a plot twist, which I think comes from, you know, finding about the chronic illness and moving from there. And then I think the next question we have is, how is this film going to end? Not saying how is it going to end for you, but what's next for Georgina Taylor?
Man, that's crazy. Especially now that you've said all these really lovely things about me, I feel like I need to say something very philosophical.
Go on.
Just make it as philosophical or as ridiculous.
Make it a metaphor that we don't understand, please.
Ma, how would it end? I think, like, again, part of me would want it to, you know, the way that Pride ends, and it's this big march through London, and then there's like credits of all like the actual real life things that happen because of the things that you see in the film. And you sat there sobbing, and you're happy and you're sobbing. I think, like, honestly, like, obviously my big goal is to make things more accessible, make things more welcoming. So if I have made a change anywhere, it would be sick if it was that kind of vibe at the end, like Pride vibes at the end. But also, it's got to be silly, because we don't want to be a wanker about a film.
But it is. That's what a good comedy for me has. It's stupid, it's silly, it has the silly start and all this build-up where you connect with the characters on a jokey level, but it still has a really serious message within it. And you've got that within kind of your story, the way you've even told it to us. It was all quite, you did it very comically, but it had its serious tone, and there's a time and place for that within the movie. So you've got that within your plot twist, the way that it ends. Yeah, it's a nice celebration, a great way to kind of embrace being who we are and what we are. I think that's brilliant.
I think that. Sorry, go on, Denver.
Yeah, will you shut up?
Will you stop interrupting me?
He doesn't.
What were you saying?
I've completely lost my train of thought.
Yeah, so that's why I'm going to take over. So, Georgie, obviously, we cannot end, and we're getting towards the end, but we cannot end without talking about Rickety Fidgets and Rocket and Rabbit. So, would you like to explain to us what Rickety Fidgets are, firstly?
Yeah, man. So, Rickety Fidgets is the main theatre company that I do stuff with. It's me, Aidan Watson, and Deborah DeBosque, and soon a fourth person, which is exciting.
Who it is? Do we get a name reveal? Can we get a spoiler?
I don't even know who it is. If I could tell you, I would. We're still
waiting. Can we put on an advert then, if you're interested?
Applications are still open, so I'm not sure if they'll be open by the time this goes out, but if you are interested, go apply. Go on.
Yeah.
For those people that are interested, sell it to us. What is Rickety Fidgets?
Well, we like to self-describe as a three-pronged theatre company. The first prong is gay, the second prong is accessible, and the third prong is rickety. So all of our theatre is accessible. We focus queer stories, and everything has a bit of a thrown together, silly vibe. So we're working towards our second production at the moment. It's called The Masked Femme. It's all about wrestling and being trans. It's written by Aidan. And it's going to be on at the Unity this summer, which is just wild. Wow. It's so cool.
So you say that's your second production. What was your first?
Our first one was called Moonhead, or Finding the Best Route Back to the Sky in One Day or Less. And it was an original story, another original story that we did about what happens one day when the moon falls to Earth and they find themselves on a planet that they thought was full of friends, but actually people are perhaps not as kind as they'd like them to be. And it's all about them trying to get back into the sky in time for nighttime.
Nice. And so are these shows aimed at? Or is it kind of that the point? It's for anyone and everyone? Or
pretty much anybody and everyone, buddy. So the Moonhead was aimed at children and their families. That's kind of our age range. And then Masked Femme is going to be more like a 12 and up type thing.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So when's that show, your second show, being out?
It's going to come out sometime around July, and there's going to be a live performance at the Unity. So if you're in Liverpool, get a ticket for it.
Absolutely, get it sorted.
But it's also going to be a recorded version as well on the Unity website. So you'll be able to see it no matter where you are.
Nice. See, again, even the company that you've created now is still very much accessible to all, which is brilliant. But your movie, you're spectacular. That, again, which shows that, like Moonhead, has the story, which is silly and jokey, but actually there is some underlining tone to it. Your movie itself, what's your Bond song? What's the soundtrack to your movie?
This is so obvious, but I think it'd be Queen. And I think there'd be, in especially like the opening like bit in the party, would be, you know, the song I'm Going Slightly Mad?
Yeah.
It would be like that kind of vibe. And then in the middle, around like the plot twist, you know, the song Keep Yourself Alive?
I don't know. Can you sing it?
I simply shan't. That was like, I think so. And then maybe at the end, it'd be like Heaven for Everyone, that song about like,
positivity, we're here, it's for everyone. So yeah, a nice feel-good Queen type. Yeah. Spectacular.
Dead campy, theatrical, that's the vibe.
Yeah.
This movie, I'd watch this. It'd be so, I could just imagine it like appearing as like a Netflix original, and like, yeah, it's one of those that I'd really enjoy to like, just, it'd be a real feel-good film, do you know what I mean? Like, with obviously a lot of, you know,
I could see it in like a live action, like kind of like part animation type thing. I don't know why I kind of see that sort of style to it. I mean, like, Spider-Man, cartoon sort of style of it.
See, now that you've said that, for some reason, and please don't take offence to this, I thought like we could get the Muppets involved. I don't know why. Like, I just feel like the Muppets would be really good in this. Like, maybe we could do Georgina Taylor, the Muppets version. I don't know why.
Why the Muppets, Ricky?
Because I just think, imagine you've got like Kermit sitting there just going, Georgina Maine, not Taylor. And just it's like, Georgina Maine, not Taylor.
Yeah, I'd love that. I love the Muppets.
And Vicky once again ruins the movie at the end. It's fantastic.
I'm sorry, but Georgina Taylor and Muppets has like that.
So
that has a lot of potential.
The movie is not going to be called Georgina Taylor and the Muppets. But it might be. Actually, maybe it's quite suited if Ricky is involved in this film. But what's the film? What's the title that you're going with?
This was the one question that I couldn't think of an answer for.
You couldn't think of one. Did you not have any ideas or anything?
I've got none. I wish I could have thought of something witty, but unfortunately.
So, I like me one word ones.
Mm.
How about just something like access?
Oh, that sounds like porn.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like...
No, you guys are just thinking that sounds like porn, but it's not. It's about accessibility, excess coming in. Yeah, maybe it sounds a bit like porn.
Access
coming in.
Access. Oh yeah, like there's a lot of double entendres within that. Is that the word, George? Is
or like accessibility, access, and the ability is in caps because it's like yeah. Got the ability, yeah.
This is why you don't create slogans, do you?
This is why we ask them to create the movie titles and not us.
I've let you down.
We've got to name it.
Georgie May Not Taylor.
Maybe just that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Georgie May Not. I can't believe, I honestly, since that start of the film, I cannot get over it. It is just
crouching tiger. And when you started at the beginning, crouching in the party, prowling. I'm not happy with this. You had six questions and you couldn't even think of a title.
I'm so sorry.
We've got to figure. There's got to be something.
But we'll put it to the listeners. Yeah. You've listened to this pod now. We will ask the listeners what they think. And for the first time ever on the podcast, we'll get them to name the show for you.
That is a real honour.
And then what we'll do is we'll send the answers to you, Georgie, and you can pick your favourite one and we'll have like a little announcement, shall we?
A little reveal.
That's amazing.
I mean, will you be up for that? That sounds great. I love that. That'll be good fun. But I think that is the end. I think we've got all the way to the end of this unbelievable film. And it's been a roller coaster. A lot has happened from where it started to where it ends. And Georgie, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit and chat with you. And yeah, I'm lost for words since the start. And so honestly, thank you so much for coming on. And we will plug all your socials to Rickety Fidgets, your own Instagram. And we didn't mention Rocket and Rabbit, but we will make sure we put it out there and get it all on our socials. So,
yep, Georgie, thank you very much.
And thank you very much for coming.
Good luck with everything. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been lit.
And that is that. Another episode ticked off. And Ricky, that was a lovely worship.
Oh yeah, Georgie's brilliant. I don't think anyone could say a bad word about her. Absolutely. So much fun to work with and just a delight in general.
A general delight it was. And if you have liked what you've listened to, then if you could give us a subscribe on our YouTube page, that would be amazing. We are also now on Apple and Spotify, so leaving a 5-star review on Apple would be amazing too. And as usual, give us a follow or any messages on our Insta, our email, our Facebook. The email is Ricardo.
You name it, .pod@gmail.com.
Unbelievable. And as I left you last week, didn't I? Or 2 weeks ago to do the podcast, and you left us with a lovely poem. Do you have anything for us today, Ricky?
No.
Right, see you next week.
You name it with Denver.